sign you, Sister White.
We will not fear.
The kingdom is alive. The kingdom's on the move with the poor and the meek and the hungry and the lonely.
I'll never forget it.
Welcome to Adventist Voices, Spectrum's podcast. I'm Alexander Carpenter, and I'm honored to be joined by the filmmakers and the star slash subject of Bobby Joe Under the Influence, a documentary that is set in Kansas City and provides insight into Bobby Joe Reed's story of addiction and recovery and ministry and success. And so I'd like to introduce Bobby Joe first. Thanks for joining me and talking with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
And thank you. In addition, I'd like to introduce our other guest. Brent Jones is the director and writer of the documentary. Hello, Brent.
Hey, how you doing? Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Let me just jump in. I have watched the film, and I would really like to talk about a couple of things with you. One is, of course, the Bobby Joe story, and I like how it drives so much of the beginning. Of course, Bobby Joe, your testimony is so incredible. The story is in some ways a classic story of redemption, but where you take it is it goes beyond just a story of sort of American redemption, small town or large town trouble to success, but also really connecting spiritually. And the area that I'd like to focus on in part is the community that you've built. It's really a beautiful example of what's possible when people work together with a common goal. So maybe I'll start with you, Bobby, and just tell me a little bit about what made you want to, I'm sure you've told your story so many times, what about your story made you want to tell it in film form?
Well, it's I started drinking at a very young age, 12. And by the time I was 13, I believe I was already an alcoholic. And I struggled with my addiction for 22 years, ended up homeless, on the street, human trafficking. Just about every horrific thing that could happen to a person happened to me.
Yeah.
And after I got sober, what I was carrying the 12-step message around to hospitals and detoxes and treatment centers. And what I started to see is there was like 900 women going through treatment in Kansas City with less than when you got out of the inpatient component, like 30 days. There was only 30 beds for these 900 women to go to. So they were returning to the circumstances from which they came. And of course, they wouldn't stay, you know, drug and alcohol free. And so I was 7 years into my recovery journey. That almost killed me multiple times. I was 7 years into that, and the Lord started putting on my heart that I needed to do something to help these women. And so that's, I came into a small inheritance, and, you know, God planted me down in a really rough part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And this community, not 3 hours had passed without hearing gunshots. There were pimps and drug dealers and prostitutes and gang members all up and down the street that we live on. And this is right where God planted me. And so I started the first house, and 2 months later, a dope dealer moved in next door, started running prostitutes, threatening us with weapons, even brought female gang members from Chicago to try to scare me out of the house. And I claimed the dope man's house. And a year and a half later, we got the dope man's house. My little small brain thought I was going to help 10 women, you know, live drug and alcohol free every year. That was my plan. And if we fast forward now, there's 14 homes, and 200 people live in within the ministry every day, and about 34 kids. And so we have taken homes that were abandoned or being used for all the wrong reasons, drug houses, or they were, you know, homeless people were residing in them, starting fires, just homes that nobody else would want. So we've taken every one of those homes. We are able to get them pretty cheap and rehab them ourselves. And then we turn them into beautiful homes for the people that we serve to live in, the people that are coming off the street and wanting to have a substance-free life. And so they're beautiful homes. And in doing so, our whole community has been transformed.
Yeah.
And you don't see drug dealers or prostitutes. It's just a complete transition to something new.
It is absolutely an incredible story that sort of combines both your own personal story, but also the story of transforming a neighborhood. I'd like to talk a little bit with Brent, if you would. How do you tell a story like this that is so, in some ways, connected to an individual, but I really appreciate how you brought in a variety of voices that were part of Bobby Joe's journey. And can you talk a little bit about how you got attached to this project and what drew you to it?
I saw Bobby Joe give her testimony at a church up the street from me, and heard a lot of testimonies in my life. And I'd never heard anything like it. I said, this is just amazing. And she told us with such confidence and such detail. I just knew that this story had to get out there to the world. You know, people need to see this thing. And you know, she's got charisma and she's got enthusiasm for life. It comes out in her testimony. It comes out when you're around Bobby Joe. When you're spending time with her, she's infectious, and that's part of a big reason why I was attracted to the story is because it was so all-encompassing, but it was her. And I went down. I said, "Listen," I went up to her afterwards. I said, "Listen, I love your story. I'd love to come down and shoot a little bit and see how you are on film. I'd love to make a film about your life story." And I was originally going to do a film, but we went down and shot for about 3 hours with Bobby Joe in her first house, the Pink House, down at her ministry, the Healing House. Yeah. And she was just so fun to hang out with, my cameraman and I, and you know, the two guys that were with me. We just had a blast. And then she started telling her story and revealing more and more about how she was able to change this community. And we brought it home after 3 hours of shooting and cut together a little piece. And I knew when you see it on the screen and what's in real life comes out on the screen, you know you have something. You know you have a person with a story in it, and it's going to come across. So she came across with flying colors, and I was just like, I was hooked. And I needed to go. I said, "Bobby Joe, I really want to meet your family, and I want to meet the other people that are in your down at Healing House, your staff, and the people that have come through the program. Can you give me access to them?" And she just opened the doors up and talked to everybody and set us up to where I could go down and really, really start talking to people. And I'll tell you what, I had more fun meeting these people than I ever have had in my filmmaking career. It's just a true, raw story, and they opened their hearts. And all of them have had their lives transformed in one way or another through what Bobby Joe started. I mean, there's many people that go into that transformation. Of course, God is one of them. And I got to see a whole lot of proof of that down there. You know, I heard the story and saw how real it was, people coming out of the darkness and into the light. And man, that's what I needed to capture in the film. And I think we were able to do that. And it's a system that works as well. I mean, people go down there with nothing, and they get a home. They get a room, they get a warm bed, they get food, they get
to help them get their license and search for jobs. And they really set them up for life.
Yeah.
And they get, more than anything, they get that love and that family.
Yeah.
And that was amazing.
Yeah. I expected to be moved and learn. I didn't expect to laugh as much as I did, Bobby Joe. You're quite the comedian. And I enjoyed... Yes. Your humorous take on some very difficult matter. So what was it like adding a whole additional responsibility to your obviously busy life, having a camera crew trail around? And how did you negotiate the exposing some very vulnerable people to the addition of having to tell their story? How did you process all of that?
Right. You know, I went to everyone that, first off, half the time I forgot the cameras were even, even there. I just continued to do what I do. And so they were just over there doing their thing and I was doing mine. So it did not change how we operated. We were just operating in our day-to-day activities as normal. For the folks that were part of the movie, I talked to each and every one of them prior to them getting on film and make sure they were comfortable. Of course, we didn't really film anybody that was brand new because, you know, one thing is we didn't want to exploit anybody or make anyone feel uncomfortable. And so we were very selective with the people that were on the film, that they were pretty comfortable and stable in their recovery journey. So we got most of the folks on there had been around for quite some time. A number of them had moved out and living independently on their own. And so they were really honored to be able to share their story. And Brent interviewed a lot more people than what's on the film. And he can tell you the process that was painstaking about trying to get it down to 2 hours instead of 5 hours of great interviews of people sharing their story. They were all very anxious to share their story and what the Lord had done for them. So we could have had a 30-hour documentary, but Brent had to cut it down to a few of us. But it was, you know, and I feel as though I've made lifetime friends with Brent and Donna. They're amazing people, and they have just become part of the Healing House family.
Well, it seems like a really great family to be a part of. Donna, I've got a question for you because in your role as an executive producer, you're not just thinking about this is a great story, but you've got to figure out how to make it happen. Can you just talk a little bit about how you manage this process and why you decided to deal with some headaches that get involved or part of the producing world?
Sure. Any film is a challenge, right? It's a lot of hard work and dedication. And I was new to Kansas City and we were newly moved back here. So we really needed to infiltrate the Kansas City film community in order to staff up. And the Kansas City Film Commission was amazing in helping us do so. And we were able to find some really talented camera operators, editors, you know, whole crews of people to help us along the way. I would say that some of the biggest challenges were staffing because we're working with, in documentary filmmaking, you're working with real people and they have lives and children and schedules. And so we're trying to, definitely be respectful of our subject matters, but we're also trying to, in the independent world, you don't have the biggest budget. So you're trying to work around everybody, you know, their crew schedule as well and trying to, you know, get everybody there. But once we got rolling, man, the interviews just kept coming and snowballing and it was just so exciting. And the stories and the footage we were getting was just so unbelievable that it was just, you know, we just made it happen. And I will say this too. you know, because Bobby Joe and what she's doing is just so unbelievably inspirational. Most of the crew that came and worked with us felt that energy and wanted to come back because we were doing something really meaningful. And that is really rewarding for people. And the other probably biggest challenge was what Bobby Joe was talking about, which was, you know, trying to pick and choose between the interviews and leaving some things on the edit room floor. And there was long nights and hard discussions around here because, you know, between myself and Brent and our lead editor, we each had our favorites and we battled it out pretty good.
It was hard because she wanted somebody and I was, you know, what was hard was she had a great point and I had a great, we wanted to keep everybody in there and you can't do that. So.
Yeah. And every one of us as our own unique person and our own experiences, we connect with different people on a different level for different reasons.
Sure.
And so what might resonate with me might not have resonated with my husband or with the lead editor, Austin Evans. And so it was just sort of listening to each other and listening to the different points of view and wanting to be very, you know, representational of the different people down at Healing House and the fact that it's such a diverse community. We wanted to represent that.
Yeah.
So I think that we just tried to find that right balance.
Well, you did.
It was kind of magical how it came together too. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I thought that it was a really great blend of supporting voices, sharing their stories. I would like to talk maybe to Bobby Joe really quickly about the storytelling itself, because obviously you have told your story so many times, but in addition to that, you tell other people's story. I love the part of, I love that you seem to, when someone is coming to Healing House for the first time, you say welcome home, which seems like such a beautiful end to one part of their story and a beginning to the other. It sounds like it is really emotionally affecting for a lot of folks to hear that. But story is so powerful. How do you think about the power of your own story and the power of other people's story? And then, of course, we're talking about documentary as story as well. So I'd just love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I think like Donna said, we all find people that, we can identify with. And I have been so blessed to have lived the life that I did and to come out of that. And as Brent says, from the darkness into the light. And I found out very early on when I had just started my own recovery journey that me sharing my experience with people, I would take baked goods and hygiene products and go to these free detoxes in the city. And I would sit on the bunk with somebody that was detoxing or beat up really severely. And I would talk to them and tell them what I was doing. And it gave them hope. Mm. I had one lady that said, Bobby Joe saved my life with a chocolate chip cookie. and I recall that. She was laying in a bed in detox and both her eyes were swollen shut from being beat. And I sat on her bunk. And I had some home-baked chocolate chip cookies left from the bake sale I had had earlier. And I talked to her and I said, honey, you don't have to live this way anymore. And I just shared what my experience with her. And that little girl never drank again.
Wow.
You know, she passed away now, but she didn't pass away of addiction. And I just seen that there was strength and there was hope in my story. And the one thing that when you're out there in your addiction, that we don't have is hope. And if I could give that through sharing my testimony, man, am I ready to give it to anybody that will listen. And, you know, I think that's the whole point of this movie. It's not to get rich or famous. It's to spread the good news of there is hope. And I always tell people, you know, continue to pray for your loved ones that are caught in addiction. And know that as long as a person that has addiction issues is still breathing, there's still hope. And so it's all about hope to me, love and hope. And the welcome home thing, you can almost see the air leaving people when they get that feeling of, okay, I'm finally someplace and I'm safe now. And it, you can really just see them kind of deflate and come to this place where, okay, it's going to be okay. And that's the atmosphere. All our homes are beautiful. And everybody here lives like I want to live or you want to live. Mm. And it's a safe place to let the harshness of the world fall away and begin the work that we need to do to live clean and sober life.
Yeah, there's a line in there. Someone says that hope is not a wish, it's a certainty. And I wrote it down. I thought it was a really pithy way of expressing a really profound theological concept. Brent, you're also involved in storytelling, obviously, and I'm curious what your goal was here. You were obviously attracted to Bobby Joe's story, and sounds like you had a merry band of a crew with you through all this experience. But what kept you? What kept you going? And what do you want people to take out of this experience? What kind of drove your editing choices, your shot selection, all of that?
You know what? What Bobby Joe's talking about is hope, and that's we talked in the beginning of this. And I said, so what's our overall goal? And Bobby Joe said to me, I just want people to know that there's hope. And then you go about going, well, how are we going to do that? And and it's showing people having testimony of people taking that journey. You know, there's a line, and there's a couple lines that I like in the movie, and one is Bobby Joe says, "Hate will devour you." Mm-hmm. And what's the solution to that? Well, there's another line in the movie that says the solution is love. And I don't know if I can deliver it like Daryl delivers it, but he lets you have it. You know, the solution is love. It was Luther says the solution is love.
Luther
said the solution is love. And, I just wanted to show people that had dealt with that, and that and with alcohol and addiction, you get down into really kind of hating yourself, right?
Yeah.
And then, if you're lucky and you want it bad enough that you can get back to loving yourself, with another addict or alcoholic can usually help you with that. And, then you get your life back. So, I think the world is, there's a lot of division right now, and a lot of, it's really easy to go to that hate and criticize and all that. And I truly believe that love is what we need. And the way to get to that is to, share with each other, understand each other, care for each other, not judge each other, and give each other a big old break, you know, and help each other in this world. And so those are the things that I wanted to come through in this film. And I would really hope that, everybody gets that out of it, because man, it is so much, that love is so much more powerful than any of the negativity and the hate and things that are going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's extremely powerful. When I went down to Healing House, I felt it every time, and it's coming through those people. So it's that sharing, that community sharing. It's a powerful community, and I believe that that's what it's going to take to help all these people that are on the streets, help all these people that are suffering from alcoholism and addiction, and people that are going in and out of prison that don't have families and don't have homes. I mean, we got to do something about it. So this is my part. This is what I had to do. And I found somebody that had the story and that's actually doing the work. And it's amazing how much work she started by herself, and she's got a whole community now and a staff it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
With her transformation. And if she can do that, if we all did one tenth of what Bobby Joe was doing, man, the world would be a whole different place.
Well, I love it.
Amen.
Thanks. It's been really great talking with all of you and hearing about your story personally and your story in making this film. Donna, you're the executive producer. Mm-hmm. How should people get a hold of this story? How should they watch it and connect to it? What would you, what do you suggest?
What we're hoping is that everybody watches it and everybody talks about it and shares it. You can go to our website, which is www.thebobbyjoemovie.com. The movie is coming out on February 16th all across the nation and all across North America on most streaming on-demand platforms. So you'll be able to find it on your Amazon Prime Video, your Apple TV, iTunes, Google Play. You'll also be able to find it on like Comcast and Dish Network, Verizon Fios, things like that. So most places where you go to normally download and stream movies, you'll be able to find it. But you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram for more information. We're at the Bobby Joe Movie there. And this weekend, there's a pre-order on iTunes where the film is half price. I think it's $6.99. That's just for this weekend only, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then we are launching on Tuesday.
Okay. Well, good luck with that launch. Thank you so much for talking with me today, and thanks to each of you for the good that you're doing in our world. I really appreciate it.
Yes, I knew, Sister White.
We will not fear.